Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Utility Board, Board of Works, meeting to order. It is 8:01 a.m. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Weigel.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on October 22nd. Were there any changes or corrections that need to take place? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, I'll second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. I'm going to mix some things up. So I'd like to first do the street closing request. That's okay with everybody. Not the curb cut, the street closing. If you can get there. It's for 130 West Van Buren Street. And Tim, I know you've worked a little bit with Scarlett, right?
Scarlett, yes.
Yeah. So, do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about what you plan on doing, or overview?
Not really closing the street.
Okay.
That's what you want to call it out here.
Yeah.
Just basically put a mail up on the sidewalk and go around and fix the roof on the building.
Okay. So are we going to be closing off the parking space in front of it as like a go-around kind of thing?
Just a few parking spaces that we would need to coming off there so they have room to maneuver that lift there on the corner. So really the street wouldn't be closed, but there would be part of the sidewalk and then part of some of the parking stalls that are there on the probably on the south side and on the west side of the building there.
Okay.
And what's the expected time duration?
I don't know, what's the weather
going to
be?
19 to 19 tonight.
Sunny weather, you know.
Okay. So is this it could be ongoing for a few days just due to the weather and also time it takes to do the work? And
yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Okay.
And if he starts and it starts raining, then it'll,
So will he leave the equipment, if he has to quit, will he leave the equipment there during the period that he's not working?
Well, ideally, is once I'm renting a man lift, so once he starts,
okay.
My plan is to get it done.
Okay.
You know, if he gets a little damp doing it, I don't care.
Right. Well, my purpose was just making sure the parking spaces didn't be closed for days or weeks at a time. Or I don't know the estimate hours of what it's going to take.
No, I'm planning on a couple of days. A
couple
of
days.
Okay. It's going to be a couple of nights.
Any questions?
No.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. And you're cool with it?
Yes, sir.
Tom, you're fine with it? Okay. Okay, then I'll make a motion that we approve the street closing permit for 11:13 and a couple days more, less, kind of, in that area for 130 West Van Buren Street.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's jump around a little more then. Let's go to the Eagle Glen Water Main Loop project. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to that next.
We took bids about 3 weeks ago for that, and the lowest bid was H&G Underground Utilities out of the port, and their base bid amount was $91,933 for both the bores, and I'd just like to award that to them so we can get moving on this project.
Okay. Let's see. I wish I could give you a page number.
DLZ. Yep, I'm in here.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Yeah, there it is. Okay. You can see on the second page where the other company came in.
Sure.
So. Do you have any questions?
How soon are they going to start that, Mike?
Once we get all the easements wrapped up, it'll be started quick right after that.
So do you think they'll try to do it through the
winter? Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
No, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I will make a motion that we award the bid package to H&G Underground Utilities LLC for the amount of $91,933 per Mike and DLZ's recommendation.
Second.
Okay, then a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll get back on schedule now with Tim.
Yes, sir.
You want to, I know there's another issue besides just police cars, so you want to just do the, you can do whatever. What do you want to do first?
Let's do the sergeant position first.
Okay.
I'd like to request permission from the board to put on a new sergeant's position. Currently, we have two sergeants. One is a third shift sergeant, and one is a second shift sergeant. So they are supervisors of the patrolmen on each of those shifts. And we currently do not have a sergeant on day shift. With the amount of projects and activities that the captain is involved in, I'd like to have a sergeant on day shift to supervise the patrolmen on days. I feel like there would be a better flow of communication from the command down to the patrolman and bring some uniformity to you, to all shifts. And in the budget, we put the money for that position into the 2014 budget. So I'm asking permission to, I guess, to create that position and then see if I can post it and have the selection process in the month of December. So we could have that person up and ready to go by January 1.
So I'm assuming, I know, we're going to be hiring from within, obviously,
yes.
That sergeant position, so we'll
yes.
be elevating somebody from that to that. And I'm assuming the captain then will stay where they're at, so basically it'll be you, then the captain, then these three shift sergeants.
Three sergeants.
So, and obviously that shift sergeant will, just like the other two, will maintain their road status, and I mean they'll continue to be on the road if you
will. They would continue to be in the same capacity as far as the 5-2-5-3 rotation and taking calls and working the road, just like the patrolmen do. They would supervise that group of four patrolmen that are on day shift. It would help us, the command staff, with just better flow of communication from myself and the captain to the sergeants and then down to the patrolmen. And bring some uniformity to all three shifts.
So it's just basically a transfer of creating a position, but still maintaining the same staff.
Mm-hmm. Same force.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure it's clear that we're not hiring another police officer. It's just classifying a position.
But just to add to that, there is a officer's position that will be open or is open due to the resource officer, correct?
Yeah, due to the SRO position,
yes.
Right, which is separate from the sergeant position.
But the perception may be that we're going to hire a police officer, but it's for that particular situation.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the sergeant.
Right, the new hire would be to fill the void for
right.
the SRO position.
Right.
And the sergeant position is
internal.
That would be internal with current staff.
Yeah. I think there's I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking this myself, but I think there may be a bit of a misunderstanding in the public as to how the SRO will function, in the fact that, I mean, they're basically dedicated to the school system throughout the whole school year. So, you know, what was that, 72% or something like that?
72.5%.
Yeah, percent of the time of the year, they're dedicated to the school. And so that leaves a tremendous gap in officer coverage, if you will, by taking one other person off the road in that way. And
I talked with Nicole, and we're going to work together on kind of getting some more information out there.
That's
on
great.
Like that.
Yeah.
The roles and responsibilities, once we get closer to the rollout on January 1, we'll try to get more information out there to the public through the media on basically what the roles and responsibilities of that position are.
Okay.
Truly are.
Thanks. But that will be, I'm assuming that additional hire will be further on in the future. I mean, it's not in this discussion, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd like to kind of handle the sergeant position first and then do the new hire position a little bit down the road. another month or so.
What are your thoughts, comments, questions, concerns about having another sergeant?
I guess my first thought is if it improves communication and proper identification of what needs to be done, I think that's the biggest recommendation on that.
And this has been a topic for several years, and in regards to the captain's duties, why can't he do it, and so on. But obviously, things change over time, and duties change, requirements change, activity changes. And but I think the key thing is we all have had feedback of lack of information getting dispersed the same across all shifts. And so I think this is one way to close that gap, that all three sergeants would hear the same thing at the same time to relate to this on down the line. So I think it's a good position. One, exactly what you said, form unity to the different departments. We're a 7x24 operation. It never shuts down, and sometimes not intentionally, but things fall through the cracks. And I think this is just going to help tighten that communication. So.
And I think it's a relatively cheap fix in a lot of ways. I really do. So is this something then, Tim, that we'll have to go to council for their approval also for the position description and all that kind of stuff, or because it's shift sergeant, we already have that description?
We already have a position description or a job description for, so I don't think that would need to be approved by the council.
Okay.
I think the Board of Works would need to approve the new position. Mm-hmm. And then the money is already in the 2014 budget to fund that. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe it would need to go to council. Although once we do the selection process, then I think I need to come back to the Board of Works for approval once the selection process is done.
And I was going to ask about that. How do you see the Board of Works playing a role, as in the same way that the new hire, that the Board of Works played a bit of a role in the new hire process, or not as much?
I think typically in the past when we've done the sergeant position, we've done it. Command staff has done some interviews, and we do like a packet review. Mm-hmm. This time we may try a written test, which we've never done before, but there is a written test that can be done for supervisors. And then we would review that information and make a decision and present that to the board for approval.
Okay. Okay. Good?
Yes, sir.
I'm good.
Okay. Then I guess I'll make a motion that we... allow Tim to proceed with putting together the position of shift sergeant for day shift, and that he can begin the hiring process when he sees fit.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Okay, it's unanimous. Carr.
A second thing I'd like to talk about is a possible color and logo change to our squad car. In front of you, I put a color copy, if everybody has it there, one that we really liked. The feedback that I've got from officers has been positive. I've got a few different officers that are just kind of indifferent and have said, as long as they have a car that runs and heads and does the job that they need to do there, they're fine with it. So I've got a few guys that are indifferent about the color. Most guys were very positive about that change. I will say that if we go to white cars, they are $500 cheaper per car. With the current car that we have, it does cost us $500 per car to get that paint done. So this should actually be cheaper per car. I think it's more of a contemporary look. We've had that same striping package on our cars for a long time. My feeling is it's time for a change, more of a contemporary look. I think that logo really stands out and will be easily identifiable from quite a distance. And I'm not sure if you can tell there, but the blue actually fades from the blue to a black color. So it's actually a fading color from a blue to a black. It's not a constant blue or a constant black. And then below that, where it has the large police on the side, we would add Columbia City Police or Columbia City to the bottom of that, so it would identify our cars as being from Columbia City. And then you can't see the back, but the back would also say Columbia City Police.
55, City Light.
and then 911 on like our current cars have on the back. So I know that's not on that picture, but we would have Columbia City on both sides and on the back of those vehicles.
So would the police be smaller and then you'd have Columbia City under that, or would you have it kind of on the bottom of the...
It would be towards the bottom of, on the bottom of the door,
mm-hmm.
But it would say Columbia City, and we can make the letter be as small as we need, but I think everybody I've talked to seems to really like that logo and seems to think it really stands out, and so we're asking if we could make a color change and a logo change to the three vehicles that we will order, hopefully order soon. I haven't got quotes yet, but we're still working on getting quotes for cars, so I'll present those once we get those quotes ready.
So the three new ones that we'll be ordering for next year would be this if we decide to go this way?
Yes, sir.
And the intent is to have the fleet, the whole fleet, and, you know, like a cycle to cycle through, or...
Yeah, I don't. There's no way we could afford to make them that way all at once. That just wouldn't be practical at all.
Right. So. And these are just for the patrol cars?
For the marked patrol cars, yeah. Yes. So I realize it would take potentially 8 years to get there. But like I said, there's no way we could do them all. There's no way we could do it all at once. We'd have to just piece them in as we would order new cars.
Okay. Nice luck.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes change motivates and changes people something different, and I think it's a positive thing. I think it should be pretty close to a wash in regards to the cost savings for the logos. I'm assuming that.
From our logo currently to the new logo is what he's saying.
All right.
Yeah, I think, I don't have the exact number, but I believe when we buy the stickers for a new car, I believe they're about $300 to buy all the different stickers that go on. And take it to Buchanan's, and they do the stickers, all the decals for us.
Sure.
I think they charge us about $100 to put those on. So I think that, yeah, the logo actually would be about a wash. I don't think it's going to be...
And plus it's a $500 savings by not painting the vehicle. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the white cars actually are $500 cheaper, and I believe we could actually get them. For some reason, the color we have now, it's the last color that they paint on the state bid vehicles. I don't know why that is. So everyone else seems to get their vehicles about 3 to 4 months before we do because of the color that we have.
I'm going to miss the Michigan State blue, I'll be honest.
The mayor likes the
Michigan State Police blue. But
I like red fire trucks.
We're getting ready to order one.
It's red, right? We're not embarrassed.
That's great. Okay. Any other questions, concerns, comments for Tim? Do you want a formal approval by the board to go this new direction? Or, I mean, it sounds like you have consensus, so...
Yeah, whatever you guys think is necessary. I just need to know as far as the color, before we would order those vehicles, I need to know what color paint needs to go on them. And then the decals, we have to work with that company to get those decals made and customized for our cars. So,
I'm good to move forward.
I'm good. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm good across the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fire engine. Engineer. I didn't read it all.
Fire engineer.
I stopped for two letters left.
That's a big difference.
Or I guess one letter.
We have had a goal set of April 1st to have a new hire through the process by April 1st and on the road. And part of that reason is because of the fact it helps Rosie out because it starts a new quarter. Something to do with her portion of it. It also gets him on the road right before people start taking a lot of vacation time, so we can get shift changes switched around. In order to be able to hit that April 1st goal, we would have to start our hiring process and at least take the applications before the first of the year. So that's what we're asking, is to be able to go ahead and start the application process here in the near future, and then let everything else unfold right after January 1st. Part of that is because the standard in our industry right now is that you send your people to what they call a CPAT, which is a candidate physical abilities test that they do over in Fort Wayne. And to do that one process is 8 weeks. So we didn't realize that we were going to be in that kind of a time frame to get that CPAT done until just last week, and I went and spoke to Mayor and Rosie, and so we were asking if we can go ahead and start the application process.
Well, what Tom had informed me, because I clearly was on a completely different page than Tom was at this point in time when we were talking, but what Tom had said was that basically you have to have certain criteria, obviously, to apply for the job. So is it firefighter 1 and 2 that you have to have? Mm-hmm. And then at that point, if you qualify, if you will, to apply for the position, then all, unlike Tim, where we send, where Tim's department, where we send the individual that we have off to the State Police Academy, this is a little bit different in the fact that this candidate physical aptitude test or something, agility test?
Candidate physical abilities test.
Abilities test, where our applicants actually go to this thing. And there is a fee on that also, and maybe that's something we also want to talk about, but it takes a while to get them through that process. And so I think that's why we probably should move on it sometime in the very near future, if not now.
Would you want me to touch on the
Yeah, it'd be great if you could.
CPAT is a physical abilities test, and you send a letter to all your candidates, you tell them to be at this location, and they run them through it and show them what they have to do. You then have to give them 8 weeks to get in a physical conditioning to be able to pass that test. If they go over there earlier and pass the test, good for them. But you have to give them 8 weeks to get in condition enough to pass the CPAT test. The cost of that test, right up front, if you have your candidates pay for it, is $130. And since I spoke to you, Mayor, I found out some more information. If the city pays for that test, and Fort Wayne can reduce the cost if we pay for the test and just send all of our candidates over, and let's say they reduce that cost to $65 a person or just a set fee of $500 or whatever they may say. If we pay for the test and don't pass that cost on to our people, they can reduce the cost for us. Once we say that the candidates are going to have to pay for that CPAT test, then it turns into the 130. So they will reduce the cost for us if we pay it for the candidates, or it's $130 per candidate if they go over and pay for it themselves.
And we're not talking 30 or 40 candidates. We're talking
somewhere 15, right in that area probably, that we'll get. That's what we anticipated, somewhere around 15 candidates, maybe 20 at tops, but I'm guessing we're right around 15. I think, Rosie, in the past, can you remember, I think we've been between 10 and 15 per position.
But is it an opportunity to test them in other categories prior to this? I guess what I'm saying, if you had 30 candidates, you'd have to, what I hear you say, you'd have to send all 30. Isn't there a screening process that you can get down to the elite group prior to sending them? Because there's other categories, I'm assuming.
There are other categories. As far as I think you're referring to the interview process, the written test, that whole kit and caboodle. What they're finding out is a lot of cities and communities are going ahead and just running that. During that two-month process that you're waiting, you can go ahead and run them through the written portion of it. But you really don't, they haven't been doing too much other than the written portion of the test. And then you've also got to wait for the state for our pension, the police fire pension. Even after we say we're down to one candidate and we want to hire that one person, there is a pretty substantial wait, or there has been in the past, on even for the state to approve a position. So, and then the whole thing is just drawn out. Once we started putting it to a calendar, we realized that we were going to be well past that April 1st.
Well, and if I remember correctly, Tom, when we were talking, you had talked about that fire departments are getting more and more liability in regards to lawsuit-wise for the hiring process in general, and how this training, I guess,
tested.
Has been court-tested, which is why it's it's recommended to go that route.
Right.
Rather than just have our own physical agility test here.
If you don't, everybody's kind of being told that this is the way to go, because if we do our own thing and try to run our own thing, then you're going to end up somebody's going to get upset with it. And the written portion of it is also something that we order these tests. We don't even get a chance to look at them. We order these tests from a national organization. We hand them out to the candidates. They take the test. We don't look at them. We seal them up in an envelope and send them in, and then they send us the results.
And that's how, Terry, you did yours for the new dispatcher also. Correct. Yeah. So.
Right, and I'm just saying that if there's anything you could do prior to going through the applicants prior to sending them to that. I mean, obviously that's time off wherever they're at if they have to take time off work or whatever. If there's just a way to help reduce that number prior to, through other testing, not duplicate the testing that they have to go through. So, because I just think it's unknown. Right now, you could end up with a lot of applications. So
yeah, I think it's kind of difficult when you bring in the possibility of discrimination and, you know, and the physical aspect of, you know, something to tell somebody that they just looking at them that they probably can't handle.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, but there's other ways to test them.
That's a safety net that having to go through that system. I was complimenting the system.
I don't know if this helps or not, but we actually did our process in February, and we had 45 applicants through ours, so I don't know.
But if I remember right, was there any, I shouldn't say it this way, but was there any real minimum requirements that had to be met before they could apply? I guess what I'm saying is, Tom, you have to have your firefighter 1 and 2 at least before you apply. I'm wondering if there was anything like that. So I guess I just wonder if that's going to weed out a fair amount of individuals who would have normally applied. Now, the one thing we could do, you know, cost-wise, I mean, ultimately, we need to make a decision on whether or not the city is going to, you know, pay for these applicants to go through this CPAT because it's a part of our testing process.
Well, I think our first step on that is to see what kind of a rate Fort Wayne is looking at giving us, because I know they're going to reduce that rate if we pay for it.
Okay.
I'm just curious to wait and see what that reduced rate
is. And I don't mind that. I guess I'm just telling the Board of Works ahead of time that, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to need to make a decision on that at some point.
Well, I can see where Walt's coming from, because that could be quite a large number of dollars spent.
Well, if it's, what'd you say, 100 and...
130
per candidate.
130 per candidate.
That's if the candidate goes over and pays for it.
Right. And if we pay for it, then there's a discount stuff, and yeah. That'll have to be something. That'll be a bridge we'll cross here in the future. But I think basically what you're asking for is, can you start accepting applications for the fire?
That is
a firefighter, right?
Yes.
And again, I support everything you've said, Tom. I'm just throwing discussion out there, so don't take it as a negative.
But,
just trying to help maintain the investment that we have to go through. So.
Okay.
Need a motion?
Sure.
I make a motion that we allow Chief LaRue to start the process of hiring a fire engineer during 2013 and starting in 2014.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Tim and Tom, if you guys have nothing else, you're free to go unless you'd like to stay around. So. Saying get back to work is what I'm saying. So. okay. Actually, yeah, Tim, can you stick around? I'm sorry. With the ordinance violations next, I completely forgot. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Should I get beat? You could if you want. Okay, so there was an ordinance violation at 112 East Swihart Street, I believe, and I'm not even going to attempt to say Carol's last name, but Carol obviously wrote us a letter, and you obviously we probably need to discuss this. I don't think you said, Rosie, she couldn't be here today, this morning for this, we probably need to discuss whether or not we want to let this stand or overturn the ticket.
Her main concern was that she did get a ticket and that she considers most of her stuff her flowering, the way she decorates or plants her landscape. And I think there's quite a few pictures in there that you can see. And she was on vacation, I guess, or out of town when she originally got the notice. And then she's saying she was here or there after she got back. And my question was, why didn't she contact us before she got this ticket? But that was my only thought.
I mean, looking at the pictures, it looks to me like there are plants mixed in with that. It's kind of hard to... I can see, I'm not a plant expert by any stretch of imagination, but there's just a lot of stuff there,
yeah.
I guess.
Looks like there could be some slightly. Walnut, some I don't know if that's catalpa or what there. But
yeah. And I agree, if there was an issue, why wasn't it brought to our attention prior to? Did we do give proper time for you know, a situation to be rectified? Mm-hmm. I guess that's my point. I just wish you would have came to us prior to receiving the ticket, as like what you stated earlier.
Yeah, she was given 10, let's say September 11th, so she had until the 21st to get it taken care of.
I mean, I know with the rain and things that we've had, I know things do grow rapidly. I know I was maintaining a property over off of Chicago Street, and like a week and a half later, things just went crazy, but we took care of it.
But it looked like the weeds around the street sign have been taken care of.
Yeah.
But the others are still present, the other categories.
Tim, do you have any insight on this?
Just typically when these violations, when the notice is given out, they get 10 days to take care of it. We have worked with people in the past as far as giving them more time if they contact us and kind of give us a heads up on whether they're going to be out of town or if they need more time to take care of it. I don't believe that was done in this case. So I think there are a few things that were taken care of, whether it was, you know, around the sign and things like that. But my feeling is that she had the time to take care of it. And I think once the ticket was issued, then she went back out and somebody went back out and cleaned more of it up after the ticket was issued. Sometimes that's what it takes to get people to get things cleaned up.
And it looks like she, from the, I guess from the letter date, she had 16 days. But you figure, depending on when mail went out and where the 11th falls in the, you know, still.
And typically, like I said, if they do contact, whether it's Officer York or the clerk's office and ask for more time, we work with people to give them more time to get things.
And you didn't have any communication until after she received the fine.
I mean, she got some valid
concerns on
her letter. It's just that sometimes I think you got to when you are here, you got to prioritize some things. Especially if you know there's a potential ticket involved. You know, if she would have came to us with this letter prior to the ticket, you know, we might be able to work something out. But
I kind of concur with Tim. I think sometimes people don't take the warning at heart. And sometimes you have to do what you have to do to make it happen. And I think, you know, 16 days, I understand a lot of circumstances, but no communications, you know, to come back to us until the ticket was cited. I think my personal opinion is that the ticket should stand and we continue to monitor the situation.
I agree with Walt on this.
Okay. Okay, so is that a motion then, Walt?
I'll make that a motion.
Okay. And?
Second.
Second, okay. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay.
Just in case anybody was wondering, we are working on the property next door. It's been ongoing, so I believe we are making some progress on taking care of the property to the west. So it is ongoing.
How about the property to the south of the alley?
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Okay.
Are those owned by the same owner?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Is that probably across the street to the east?
I believe the gentleman that you spoke of a little bit ago owns the property directly to the west.
I figured that.
And I think it's a different individual that owns the property to the south. It would be across the alley.
Across the alley, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Tim. Curb cut request on Redstone. They provided a pretty good amount of information about what they were going to do, I thought. Did you guys have any questions, comments, concerns about that?
Okay. I did not, as long as the superintendents were okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rosie? They were okay, right?
Well, yeah, Kelly's the only one.
But
he said he didn't have a problem with it. He went down and talked to the guy and looked it over.
As I saw a sign there. So. Okay, then I'll make a motion that we approve the cut permit for 782 South Redstone Court.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. We did the street closing request. Spectrum Engineering, Piper Report.
Rod's here.
Hi, Rod. I didn't even see you. Sorry.
A little smaller than this one.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
The package that you have is just a brief outline of what we completed for the first two tasks that you had contracted with Spectrum. The book that I brought was shared with both Terry and Sean. This is the details of all the drawings and all the bill of materials and everything like that. I'll go through what I handed to you because it's just a summary of what we've provided. The first page, 11 by 17 fold out, shows the fiber ring that we designed. Initially, there were two rings coming out of City Hall. The light, dark line that kind of goes down Van Buren Street. You had that as two separate rings. We looked at the cost and infrastructure down through there, and it made more sense just to have one solid ring around the community and the spurs go off versus having a dual path through the center. And that also reduced the estimated cost that we came up with once the design is through. We went through and evaluated each of the poles through the route to determine, you know, if they're viable to stick the fiber up on. And then we also did some make-ready notes as far as any tree trimming that would need to be done and or pole replacements. We didn't find any poles that were overloaded. However, there was one pole that we noted to them in the report that was just in bad shape as far as the condition of the pole itself. And I believe you have Osmos come in and take a look at your poles anyway on a regular basis, so they may note that just the age and wear on that pole may require it to be replaced. Additionally, we looked at the fiber counts and where it's going and determined the best counts there. The next two pages then are the detailed bill of materials and estimated costs. The labor and material costs that we have there are based off of projects that we've quoted.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt you? Can we go back to the first page for a second?
Sure can.
I apologize. It shows, obviously, always a concern, but going on the very far north side, going basically from north of Frontage Road over to north of Walker Way, is there a conduit or something that we're pulling through there? Is it?
No, we're staying on the transmission path.
Okay.
Because the poles, you have plenty of clearance, and okay, you already have road right away to.
Okay.
To
is there
those
along 30 there? It's on just on the south side of 30. There's a transmission pipe that runs right through there, right in front of CVS, over in front of China.
Okay. Thank you.
Now through Marsh's Park, is that also staying within that transmission line? I mean,
yes,
distance away from the. I know this will be a possible an issue. When you cross the river and getting the proper permits to go across the river and being 75 foot back from the top of the bank.
We'll be on top of most of the
okay,
cable TV and phone lines, so we'll actually be higher than this line. Should be an issue there.
Yeah, you'll be at the...
Because it's on our lines anyways, right?
Yes, you'll be,
okay,
you'll be at the top position.
Okay.
And if there is any clearance issues with, you know, street lights or poles, the reason we used ADSS fiber is allows you to go into your electric space.
Mm-hmm.
Double check it. Yep, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Please continue. Nope, that's fine. Ask any question. Again, the bill of material detailed out as far as the quantities needed. And these are the quantities that we would submit with the bid if you choose to move forward to build that. The labor and material prices that we used are based off of previous projects that we've had within the past year and just pulled those in, so you have a pretty good, very good estimate on what the labor, material, and extended prices would be for this build. The next page then would be owner furnished materials, and again those are based off of pricing that we've had, and this gives you basically the detailed bill of materials to purchase any material ahead of time that you would like for the build, or we can include that in a bid process out to either suppliers or a contractor. Just to let you know, the total that we came up with the design came out to $119,711.79. That was it's about $78,000 cheaper than the original estimate based on the proposed route that was provided at the time of hiring us, and you know, we're able just to, you know, take a look at the infrastructure you have out there, take the best path, take out some of the underground that you had in there because you are able to go on transmission poles and everything like that and have the clearance that's needed. And then also by eliminating that path through the center of town from City Hall out through the water department, and bisecting that, the material costs, and then also the make-ready costs through there, because those were the poles where you would have had more tree trimming and about three or four other poles that would probably need to be replaced. So considerable cost savings through that area. So we believe it's a decent project for you. It will satisfy your needs of what you're looking for as far as connecting all of your buildings. Provide you with the network access that you need to improve your internet through there, and then also where the ring's located and everything like that. If in the future you want to, you know, get Wi-Fi in the park areas, downtown areas, everything like that, we have designed Slack into the design to where you could go in there, splice in, and hook into those fibers as needed in the future if you see that as a viable solution to what you want to provide to your city. Additionally, included in there our original letter of agreement and grayed out task one and two, which shows the work that was done there and the deliverables. Those deliverables being the construction cost estimate, bill of materials, and then also the construction documents. The remaining portion, if you choose to go forward, which would be the bidding services, construction inspection, and system checkout, are the same as what's there. And in discussion with Sean and Terry, we did include a SCADA system upgrade quote in there. Currently, right now, the SCADA system at the west and southwest substations are tied back through your radio network. So there will be some switching and everything needed for those two locations to get that information back. And just to do that in your current system, you know, would be $10,822, a majority of that being the Cisco switches, which will allow if the fiber's cut to come back around the ring and still have connection in there versus having a straight line star from City Hall out there. In addition to that, Sean brought up the recommendation as far as being able to access through their mobile devices and everything like that. The optional engineering services are related to, you know, the system upgrades that would require for that and equipment that would need to be placed within the system itself. When it was originally designed using the radio network and communication styles with that versus what would be needed for remote access and controls via that, there's some system upgrades that would need to take place. And that's what the optional engineering services and project descriptions are there. Additionally, as not part of this, because I want to have future discussions with Sean, is the north substation behind the Kroger. That's an older substation with the electromechanical relays versus the microprocessor needed for SCADA. Due to the age of the equipment and everything like that, we came in, inspected to see what it would take to upgrade the relays and put in the SCADA sensors. So we do have a price for that. However, given the age of the equipment and everything, do want to have further discussion as far as capital improvement, future plans for that site. Don't want to put money into it that, you know, you may have within, you know, a few years as far as upgrading the switch gear, the breakers, and everything within that facility. So we want to have future discussion as far as what overall plans are there before offering to pull the trigger on that.
Okay. Anything else to add, gentlemen?
The only thing I'd have to add is I also have an additional cost of about $12,000 to $13,000 through CenturyLink to program and set up a new switch here at City Hall and make all these things talk. Once the system's in place, they'll switch it over from the radio wireless and allow the work across the fiber network. They got to do some programming.
What is your guys' plan of action from here?
I'm sorry, what?
What is your plan of action from here? Do you have a recommendation of where we go from here? Or
I think it's important to get the next three phases of the engineering done, the bid process, and at least the bid process at this point, so we can move forward getting the prices for the material and labor and getting the contractors lined up before their schedules fill up for next year, because this is kind of a project we've eyed for 2014. So that's kind of the next step. I know for me, the north substation SCADA is going to be an issue. We kind of knew it would. But to do a project like this and to not include the whole scope of the project, I think would be a bad decision. I think we need to get that north substation up to speed with the other two to where we can communicate with that one as well. That's a long-term situation. That substation's going to be around for a long time, whereas the high school substation is going to be retired fairly soon. And we have all three of our substations that are going to remain tied into the SCADA, we can be more effective with our communication there. So that's, I think we can deal with that moving forward. that right now we need to at least get the bid process approved and maybe move forward from there.
Board of Works, what do you have?
I just need time to digest it. There's a lot of
there's a lot of information.
The concept, I totally understand the concept of the ring around the city. I just, again, need to make notes and ask questions because I think I've seen your fiber counts are up in about 200. And I seen a 144 fiber count.
And 288.
The 288 fiber count. Just trying to understand the topology of the volume of fibers needed if it's just for city services.
No, the there are larger fiber counts there just from a unit price standpoint. If you wanted to take a look at those, the 38,047 feet of what we would be using is a 48 count fiber.
Okay, so everything listed here is not what you're using.
Correct.
It's just part of the digesting.
It's one of those where if you had questions as far as wanting to add services and stuff like that, we would be able to, you know, go in and let you know what the cost of those options would be for you.
Gotcha. Okay.
But what we designed was the 48 count fiber, which would give you plenty for, you know, basically a dedicated 2 to 4 fiber ring for your electric department and anywhere from 6 to 10 for, you know, city networks, and then allow you the flexibility to, you know, add other locations as needed in the future.
What do you expect if we were to do either at the park or downtown or both, do Wi-Fi in those areas?
You would only need, basically what I'd recommend is use 2 fibers.
Okay.
That way you have a back and forth available to you. And with 48 fibers and knowing that you're not planning on, you know, offering any other services other than maybe if somebody special comes to you to right across your network, 48's going to be plenty. And the difference between 24 and 48 count fiber is pennies, so it makes more sense to put the 48 up and and have it available for future need versus going short and coming up and saying, hey, we wish we had 6 more fibers 10 years from now.
Am I to understand this correctly as I look at the sheet that we're really talking to go from 48 to 144 or even 288 for that matter, we're really only talking a difference of about 40 cents per what would it be, square foot or whatever?
That's as far as the labor for them to install it.
Labor
as well. Due to the size. You would have to go to the second sheet, which I don't have the extended prices for the fiber counts on there, but that's where your price would actually...
Okay, I was just looking, I guess I was looking under materials and they were all listed as point, well, basically 3 cents.
Yeah, and because we had owner-furnished material as far as you would purchase the fiber and have it available to the contractor, that 3 cents is for their, you know...
I mean, you could put more fiber in and keep it dark, they call it, for future.
Is that, are you asking me?
No, I'm just, I mean, I'm just sharing with you.
Oh, I got you, okay. Just trying to figure out we're on the same page. No, I guess I was just trying to figure out, and I really do think 48 is going to be plenty for us.
Yes.
I don't think we're really too much in the business of getting into competition with, you know, the CenturyLinks of the world or whatever. But, you know, you never know technology-wise if we're putting up something and then 20 years down the road we have to put up a whole nother because we're that much more expanded. And
well, they can do a lot with the fiber. Even if it grows, we can make more.
You can use splitters and electronics to maximize. 48 is going to be 48 for what you have planned, and without wanting to expand services to residents, 48 is going to be plenty.
Okay.
My other thought is, and we've talked about this for many years of trying to get this going, but as a city, we have a very strong relationship with the school system. and I know that today they're microwave, and I know that they have a strong interest, okay? I don't know if any of this has been shared with them, and if there's an interest where they may want to participate in their own fiber. And again, I'm talking just as my thoughts, because I have had no discussion with them, but I'm just thinking, I don't want to leave out the vision that we continue to partner with the school system if we can help them tie their schools together. Obviously, have them be accountable for their portion of it, but I don't know if we had that discussion with this. So
I have had a discussion.
Okay.
About that, they seemed somewhat interested, but at that point in time, it was just we were just exploring. So, I mean, I certainly could go back to the school system and ask if they have interests.
Because I know Ann Plunkett, is that her name?
Name rings a bell.
Yeah, she's the IT director.
Thank you.
Again, interest at different levels for different people.
Yeah.
But again, I know. You know, there's three schools here within the city radius that may have an opportunity to.
I'm not saying we should possibly open the door even with the county.
Mm-hmm. And I've had that discussion also, by the way. Yeah.
So.
And there is some interest there. Yeah.
So I don't want scope creep here, and I don't want to lose vision of what we want to do, but I also don't want to leave out partners. That there's a value that if we could share resources or subsidize resources, I think that's a good thing. That's a whole different discussion, as we know. But I just want to put that on the table for thought.
Yeah.
It actually is, and we did think of it in the design, and it is laid out that way in the splicing that we laid out. We take a look at, you know, the fibers are placed in 12-count tubes. So, you know, we're looking at that from, you know, four separate rings that you'd want to get in and out of. So we consider the first 12 to be the city ring that nobody else can touch. And then you can start at the next one to where you may have schools, hospitals, and so forth from there. And they can have a dedicated tube if you want to, you know, provide access to where they can either lease that dark fiber or you provide a service or, you know, point to point, you know, themselves, they can use those. Same way with hospitals and everything like that to get access into an outside network or something like that. And then that provides you then the two other tubes, your 24 through 40, your 25 through 48 for, you know, anybody else if CenturyLink would need some pathway or if you would want to, you know, add things at different locations throughout the community, whether it's a community center or park or anything like that. That leaves you those upper ranges to supply that type of transport and everything on. So we did think of that based on other middle mile type projects that this is. And when we designed the splicing and everything to go out for bid, we took that into consideration that you most likely would want to provide services like that in the future.
I guess in the stay in the time frame of this proposal, I mean, it sounds like what we've got is going to be large enough to make that communication with the school and the, you know, possibly these other entities. Is this something we need to move now on? So that way, I mean, to stay within our time frame, it looks like it's supposed to be up and operational by May of next year. So is that something you're looking for approval today on? Or is this, or is there more, I mean, where do we want to go with this?
Well, just from my perspective, I'd like to know more about the financial side of it. This is a capital project or where the funding's coming from. So, I mean, I think we're still fact-finding the information. I don't know if we're ready to pull the trigger yet, but it's it's in the near future. I think this is going to be the core network of the city, and all the things we've talked about are kind of our own separate entities around it that can be handled case by case basis. But at least they've got some place to come back now and connect to, if it's the county, if it's the school. And again, we don't know what the pulse is if they really want to participate. At least there's a backbone around the city to get them from one side to the other.
Yeah, because I think once it's installed, and, you know, once we have it up and running, then obviously there could be a cost.
Sure. Well, I don't. Yeah, that's a whole. Again, I don't know how you charge for private fiber. It's a whole different issue.
Right.
Billing and accountability.
Do we have a line? And I'm just thinking now. I'm thinking school, even though it's. I have no clue if they're going to partner with us or not. But do we have a line that runs from the line within Morsch's Park over into Columbia Parkway? I guess I'm just trying to see if there's any easy way to get to the current high school. Just because, I mean, it's kind of on an island if you look at it by the looks on the map. So
we have a transmission line that runs all the way from the cross country area there.
Yeah.
Very high school. So if we could, if they were interested, put a loop box or whatever in there at the park.
Okay.
And feed up to the high school.
Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking, it doesn't look like. Doesn't look to me like Eagle Tech would be difficult to get to. I don't, obviously, if we're going to the water department, I don't think Mary Raver would be too difficult to get to. Being out at the wastewater treatment plant, I don't think that Indian Springs or, the potential new high school site, I'm guessing.
We designed it that way so that
each
of those could be accessed easily. So.
I'm just wondering in the short term if we were to do this. Yeah, so again, I'm just talking here, but. Okay. So if I heard you correctly, Walt, you'd like to take some time to digest. I think I'd like to take some time to digest the numbers and the information that I have here.
Can
I think we do need to look. Yes.
Look, just super quick, I just want to confirm, is there anything changed on this agreement? Because it's now dated November 12th, and I realize you sort of marked out what you've done. I understand that. But did anything get changed in the bowl in the dark areas undone since I would have reviewed it before?
No.
The
only thing
added.
Okay,
so it's identical, just changes. I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Just updated it to the work that was completed. And
okay. Sorry, Mayor. I just want to make sure that I didn't.
That's fine.
There wasn't anything I needed to review.
That's fine. I want to always make sure our city attorney is happy. So.
Just to let you guys, as far as the schedule and everything, the proposed schedule would be. You have plenty of time between now and December to discuss, ask questions. We can come back in and answer detailed questions or whatever. Because in all reality, you'd want to go out for bid after the first of the year. That way you can, get on the schedule for next year and have plenty of time through January, February, and early March to get that bid process done, the contractor selected, material ordered, and everything, because you really don't want to do any of the construction through the winter season or else you'll pay a premium for that. So that's the initial schedule we put through. So, you have plenty of time to digest it, ask questions. We can come back in at the next scheduled meeting and answer those if needed.
I guess what I'm considering is, I know you're not planning on being at the next Board of Works meeting, so I'm wondering if we put it on the agenda for the first meeting in December.
Sure.
Does that sound okay?
That's fine.
So we'll put the kind of the next phase of this on the first meeting of December, Rosie, and go from there. Does that sound okay?
Yep.
Just a clarification on funding. Is this something that's going to be funded through the electric department?
The initial discussion with Rod, what has worked out for other utilities is that the electric utility funds the project.
Okay.
The other utilities lease the fiber.
Lease the fiber.
At a reduced rate, but just to cover some of the costs.
Okay.
That way there's full ownership for the utility. If there's an issue, we know who's addressing the issue. That it's our loop and we address the issue.
I think we touched on it just one day in general conversation is obviously when we build it, we have to maintain it. What happens if somebody takes a backhoe through it? Who's going to repair it? That's a whole different, but it needs to be part of the solution.
Yeah, as part of the bidding documents, you can set it up as a general services with that contractor to come in and provide splicing services, or you can actually, after it's installed, find a local contractor or somebody to do that. It's not difficult. You could train your own people to do that, but again, there's resources you'd have to purchase as far as equipment. So given that you're only going to have a ring, there are plenty of local sources that you could just have a general services contract and have them come in and take care of it.
So the redundancy of the ring, let's say that it is cut, the switches will...
Yeah, the switches.
Just the isolation would be where the cut is between those two points?
Yes. Yeah, the switches, if you don't have the switches at the locations, then you have to have the star pattern to where you dedicated fiber to each location, which, you still have enough fiber with 48. But what happens is if you get a cut in there,
right,
then, those sections are need to be fixed before they're active. With the Ethernet switches in there, it allows it to, reroute around the other way to get to that same point.
Now, those switches are what you was referring to, that Sprint or Central
Link? We already have those in place. We would put a new one here at City Hall to handle the traffic coming in here. But CenturyLink would have to come in and put a fiber connection in those switches and then program so they would self-heal.
Okay. And then are you going to keep the microwave as a backup, the radio as a backup? Or?
I don't see any reason to take it down. So, yeah, I thought we'd just keep it as a backup or for something else if we needed it, and it's in place and working. So.
Thank you.
Dan, you have anything?
No, sir.
Okay. Sorry, Rizzi.
Originally, didn't you have the schedule for council? Do you still want on council?
We have a schedule for council?
For an update.
Oh.
Terry wanted to put it on.
I didn't know if I guess it probably not, doesn't need to be until we go into the next phase.
I'll defer to council right now.
I think we should go ahead and wait till we get this thing.
Wait till we go to the next thing?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait till next time.
Okay.
Cancel.
Cancel for Thursday.
Yes.
Okay.
Put on for December.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Okay, we've done Eagle Glen Water Main Loop. Request for qualifications, LTCP. Jeff. Or would you rather do Westgate?
Let's do Westgate.
Okay. Let's do Westgate.
I think that's probably why Todd said.
Yeah.
No, actually.
Isn't it?
No, I have a request
done. Oh, okay, okay.
We can do either one.
I'm putting that toward, yeah, okay. Well, okay, so whatever you want to do.
Okay, well, let's do the RFQ process for the long-term control plan first. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Recently, the Board of Works approved a direction, overall direction of identifying potential alternatives to our existing agreed order with IDEM, and to do that would require professional services to act on our behalf with a roadmap or direction to those modifications. At that time, you agreed to qualification-based selection of these professional services rather than fee-based, and also at the time, I had told you that once the RFQ was put together, I would be back to present it to the board prior to sending it out. So in your packet today, you have a proposed RFQ, and the only modification that I would ask is that rather than the, I think it was December 10th or 11th time, to accelerate it to December 6th, to have all the RFQs submitted to us. The reason for that is that there's an Indiana Rural Water Association conference that begins on the 10th, I think. So most of the consultants are going to be at that. So they'll want to wrap this up prior to going to their conference. So I did check with some of the ones that was on the list to receive these, and they were all good with it. So be my request for the board to approve this today so that I can get it in today's mail post haste.
Question, comment, concern?
How many invitations are you going to send, Jeff?
I think that there was five, Walt.
Five.
And I've also requested that of the consultants that there would not be any interviews until after the first of the year. I've put that in the overall context. So sometime in the next few weeks, the mayor and the board and I will need to decide who's going to be hearing the interviews and
at what point after the first of the year getting the schedules put together. So so at that point, you know, it's open-ended in here that certainly if you want to interview all of them, you can, or you can choose not to interview any of them, depending on what actually gets presented in the RFQs. I mean, there might be one firm that's just so far head and shoulders above the rest of them. If you look at the points as far as grading them, the proposed approach carries the most weight, and I think that we've talked about that because the approaches can be everything from soup to nuts. And we've kind of, the mayor and I have kind of got a direction that we thought was a very solid, feasible direction, but there might be something else out there that we haven't really heard or thought of yet. So that's really the biggest thing, not only for the upfront capital costs anticipated, but the long-term O&M too. So looking at the entire gamut.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff, the only thing that I might suggest is, you've already said it verbally, but is, oh, wait, where is it? Under the selection process, you might want to just add a sentence that the city reserves the right to reject all submittals.
Okay.
Just to make it that statement, I mean, because you're correct, and that's a, you know, I don't think it's necessary because it's our right, but it might be nice to just go ahead and say it.
Okay.
Some questions?
No, sir.
Good?
No, I'm good.
Okay, then I will make a motion that we have Jeff proceed with the RFQ process. I guess that's a good enough motion.
Yeah,
okay. Motion second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, share with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. And Westgate.
The board had asked me to look at improvements to the drainage out to Westgate again, and Kelly Searbaugh, Corey Sievers, and I have been working with a couple of contractors on this for, oh gosh, a couple of months now. I guess if we go back several years ago, the city had asked Bonar, it was actually Bonar Group at that time, now GAI, to put together a proposed drainage improvement plan. And at the time, it was anticipated that the engineer's probable construction cost was in excess of $300,000. And at the time, the administration felt like that was just way too much to spend on a very limited number of beneficiaries, direct beneficiaries. There was a lot of indirect beneficiaries to a lesser extent, but there was only a handful of properties that were experiencing ongoing flooding during rain events. So we looked at ways to pare that down and still achieve at least what we felt was the best bang for our buck in the goals. And so that's what we've done, and we worked with Reef Construction and Wygent, and essentially took the original design and worked with them to re-engineer that, as I said, to pare it down, but still get the what we needed to have accomplished. And we all feel like that's what we've done here. So asked them for the quote to do the proposed improvements, and I have to look here to see to find out what the quotes were. Reef Construction came in at $31,200, and Wygent's was $53,095, and I haven't had an opportunity to sit down with Corey and or Kelly, and I would be remiss if I didn't, since they helped put this together, the plan. So I would really appreciate the board accepting these two quotes and taking them under consideration until I get an opportunity to talk to both of them and come back at the with a decision or a recommendation for decision at the next board meeting.
Well, obviously, Westgate, specifically a couple, maybe a handful of property owners have had some flooding that has been consistent when there's a heavy rainfall. I'm just glad to see that we're, you know, I'm glad that we're finally taking the steps to take care of some of that stuff out there. I think we've done minor improvements out there fairly continuously over the last, 4 or 5 years maybe? And so I think this is probably one of those last big steps. But, you know, I don't mind taking it under advisement and coming back at the next meeting and awarding at that point. Yeah. But, yeah.
I agree.
Are you looking at the map?
Yeah, looking at the map, trying to get a better idea of where this excess water is going to be flowing.
To the same spot that it is now, okay. At the railroad culvert.
Is it not that it doesn't matter? The railroad culvert is only so big. So
yes.
There's only a certain amount of water that's going to flow through that, no matter how much we push towards that. Is that something that really should be addressed as well? Because I know there seemed to be the problem before is the amount of water going through to that location, plus then the amount of water going onto the in that ditch going to the next ditch. Is that still going to be an issue even by adding this this improvement?
We will be taking care of the immediate flooding area and getting it moved, and then also there'll be part of it in storage in the pipes themselves. We're not abandoning the other existing system either, so that'll still be going. We are not addressing, Dan, the railroad culvert and trying to increase the size. I would just as soon never do that.
I understand. I
can pretty much tell you right now that...
I understand the reason behind all that, but I was just curious, you know, if we're adding, you know, a faster way to get the water away and it still doesn't have any way to...
That
might be the hiccup in the...
I've walked back to there where that opening is, and it's really a culvert and an opening. I mean...
There's a holding area.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's more opportunities for the water to flow freely than just the culvert.
Okay.
Is what I was just trying to... Does that make sense?
What we've found is that in televising this area, not only are the pipes undersized, but they're also broken down
right. And
in the flooding area. So we feel like... Let me first say that, you know, during a rain event, it's still going to hold there, but it's going to be able to be taken away in a quicker fashion than it is right now after the construction. You're still going to have some holding there. It's inevitable. And as you'd indicated, it's a 30 or 36 inch culvert pipe going under the railroad. That limits everything flowing from the north to the south side of it. So,
but it should also be mentioned that the three properties that would be on the south side of Westgate Avenue there, there's a lot of water that sits there also, and that will make those lots at least somewhat developable.
Yeah.
You know, which obviously is inside the city limits, and so it provides some good potential at that point. But yeah, I mean, I think what it basically does, this project, is it basically takes the water that's been sitting on really two or three different properties right there on the west end of Westgate Avenue and moves it. And moves it to a place that doesn't have houses, doesn't have cars sitting in water anymore, things to that effect. And Jeff's right, it will provide additional holding space, you know, won't, you know, just like in all
right.
big rains, it's not going to take care of it in a second or two, but it will take care of it so that the major flooding we've had there in the past won't, hopefully won't occur. I'll say it that way.
So the the agreements that's being made for the right-of-ways and recording stuff at the courthouse, is that all going to be documented prior to awarding? And the other, as we both know, we've been through some of this with gentlemen's agreements that never gelled.
Yeah, that's why that this, depending, Jerry Reef is the individual that we would have to gain easements from. And he has addressed that in his quote. If we choose to go with Wygen's quote, then I'll still need to go back to Jerry, yes.
Right.
There won't be, there'll be something in writing.
Is this something we might have to bring the county drainage board into play, since the water's going to be being directed that?
You're not redirecting, and you're not directing anymore, and it's going to the same place.
It's just the route, really.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I mean, the water all ends up there anyways. It's just the route of how it takes.
So I'm just trying to create, continue our communication.
I understand. I appreciate that.
The ultimate ends up in the river, right?
Actually, it goes to a ditch, which is a county ditch, but out by Brent Drew's, off of Airport Drop.
So we're just going to take it under advisement.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is the Board of Works okay with taking this under advisement and then having it at the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Is that all you got? Okay. Very good. Okay, street closing permit for Whitley County Community Christmas. Did you all have a chance to take a look at that? Did we have that in our packets?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got to get to that.
Right above Wygen.
Yeah, there we go.
They're actually just asking for the parking on the south side for barricades for the people that can't walk. So they're not really asking for the street to be closed, but I still request that they fill this out every year.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We did this last few years. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's 5 to 10 on the 6th and the 7th.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the request for the street closing as presented for the Whitley County Community Christmas on December 6th and 7th from 5 to 10 on the 6th and 5 to 10 on the 7th.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay.
Excuse me, Mayor, should I restate that it's not a street closing? Because I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To barricade off the parking, angle parking.
Okay.
On the south side of the courthouse. That's kind of what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You resecond?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. So we've done it legally now. That's good.
Thanks.
Okay, good. Well, before we go into the review of financials, Todd, I know you're here kind of on behalf of Don, who couldn't. Don, who I think is heading back from Tampa as we speak right now, but he did give me a call yesterday. Go ahead.
Sorry to take up too much time at all. I understand that Don's already made his appeal to the city about considering the use of PVC, and I apologize. Let me just give these to Mike because I only have one copy.
Sure.
And he can disseminate those. But I understand he's already made an appeal about considering use of C900 PVC for water carrier main.
Instead of the ductile iron pipe.
Versus ductile iron.
Yeah.
I also understand that you've been given some material from Mike on that. I've added some material from PVC manufacturers there that you may look over. And the main thing that I've added is a list of surrounding communities that are currently and have been for some time using C900. I've always found the best thing to do is to go to the people that are kind of in the trenches, no pun intended on speaking to my profession, but the people that delve in this stuff every day. So on that list, I think you'd probably find some communities, their local communities that you're friendly with, that you might find someone you respect their opinion. But I think that's the best way to weigh this thing out is to look at surrounding communities that have been using it, talk to them with their experiences, and But other than that, I don't really have anything to add other than we've installed both over the years, and we have no problem with either as far as our testing or passing inspections or anything. But that's in short all I was going to add.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you. I think we're still kind of looking over the material, and I know at least I am still looking over the material and having some discussions. So I appreciate that very much.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Sir, for the record, sir.
Yes.
Could you say who you are and who you're talking about,
sorry.
Don?
Todd Porter with Y-Gen Excavating.
Yeah. Okay. Talking about Don Langlois.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Gail.
Yes. Okay. We're going to take a 10-minute or 5-minute break, and then we'll come back with the financials. Okay? Thanks. It's been a long slog. Did you move your car? I don't know. Well, Tim's not in here anymore, so he may have
moved it. Good morning.
I have to move my vehicle. I could get a parking ticket.
Yeah. I don't think I can. See, guys, this is why we have our meetings now at 5:15 instead of 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to move my car.
That's fine.
Got to share these books.